Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey folks, and welcome to Typology, the show in which we explore the story of you through the lens of the Enneagram. My name is Anthony Skinner, producer of the show. Super great to have you with us on our Mailbag Thursday. We get into this a bit in the show, but just want you to know that we really do pay attention to your comments and questions on socials. Sometimes we can't get to all of those on social, so we take advantage of this opportunity with the podcast to answer some of those questions. So that's what we're doing today. Don't forget Ian's presale of his brand new book, The Story of You. It is up for presale now. And if you do go ahead and purchase the presale, you can go to ianmorgancron.com/thestoryofyou. Enter your information from your online sale and you will get an immediate download of a chapter of the book, plus a 3-month subscription to the Typology Institute membership. And that has all kinds of perks with it. So make sure you check that out, ianmorgancron.com/thestoryofyou. That's all the details we have with this intro. Let's get to this mailbag episode with your host, Ian Cron. All right. Hey, Ian, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Welcome to this mailbag episode. I'm excited about this. So we just want to let people know that we really do appreciate when they either mail in questions, but even on social media, you don't always get to the time to respond to each of those questions in the comments section, but sometimes we'll pick them out and we'll respond here. So excited about this. So this is from @davidsrib8898, and this is the question: are there subtypes of nine that are more image conscious than others? I'm wavering between a self-pres 6 and a social 9. The 3, 6, and 9 triad is very strong for me.
Well, we'll answer. This is actually two questions, actually, in a way. Let's just talk about the differences for a moment between 6s and 9s, because that might help this person dial it in a little bit. So the first difference is that 6s are just more reactive and nervous than most 9s are. You know what I mean? 9s tend to be more easygoing, and they don't outwardly show tension like a 6 will. Right? Like, they'll feel tension.
But internalize it.
But they don't show it. 6s, that reactivity and stuff is tends to be all out there for other people to see. Right? I think that 6s for sure have trouble trusting people. They tend to think that people have hidden agendas. So they're
suspicious,
a little wary with people, particularly new people, right? Not so much with 9s. It's like trust isn't really an issue with 9s, right? They're not as guarded with other people like 6s are. They tend to be more optimistic about other people and more, just more open, just tend to be more open than 6s. And then finally, 6s could be quite intense, you know, whereas 9s have a lot of low intensity. Right? They're more relaxed. They're more calm. Again, optimistic versus pessimistic in their worldview. Now, about the image conscious thing, it's a tough question to really answer, but I would say that I think that social, nines tend to be more image conscious than the other two, right? The self-pres 9 or the 1-to-1 9, partly because they're in the group. They want to prove their value to the group. And, you know, part of that value to the group would be, or one of the ways to garner value from the group would be by, you know, an attractive, more image conscious self-presentation. Right? Because remember, the people who are of the social subtype, right, they really see the group as the source of their survival, right? The key to their survival,
right?
So I think they would be more image conscious to please the group and to assert their value than the other two types, the other two nines would.
Yeah.
So hopefully that.
I wonder what our friend Randy Williams is.
I don't know.
He's
I have to think about it.
I wouldn't think he worries about it, but he's always put together, and it's very, he always looks very comfortable, but very well put together, you know.
He was also in entertainment. What can we say?
Right, right. Okay. Next question we have from Lisa Olson. And she says, I am an Enneagram 1 mom parenting 3 boys. Mm-hmm. My oldest is an Enneagram 4. Comparison and envy are his vices. He releases his emotion through raising his voice, blaming and yelling at me for things that aren't mine to own. We have a rub as mother and son. What advice or wisdom would you give me on how to continue to love and connect with him so I don't feel the tsunami of what feels like constant criticism?
Yeah. Well, this is just even a parenting question in general, right? So the first thing I'd say is it's important for everyone dealing with highly emotive fours to practice empathic detachment.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Well, you know, it's very easy to get hooked into the emotional firestorm of fours. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
right.
Like all those feelings flying around, mm-hmm. And they have what we call labile mood, which means that it's up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to grab that tail, the tiger's tail in mm-hmm. that situation, you
right.
know? So don't.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
Just don't.
Just don't.
Well, so empathic detachment means how can you be an empathic presence without getting dragged into the firestorm mm-hmm. of all those feelings, mm-hmm. right? You don't want to just completely push them away because the four will interpret that as abandonment and it will only confirm
That's
their
good.
Worst fears, which is that they don't belong and that they're always going to be abandoned.
And might amp up all the
yes.
acting
but,
out.
But if you can find a place of groundedness, centeredness, and be an empathic, non-anxious presence around all this stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Try not, you know, it's like the old four agreements thing. Don't take anything personally. Just don't take it personally. It all these feelings probably don't have a lot to do with you, really.
Right.
Right. So you just, the empathic detachment means, you know, how can I be here for you without merging with all your crazy feelings? Mm-hmm. And just be present to what's going on. Now, so yes, that's probably the best way I should talk about empathic detachment.
Yeah.
That said, you know, it's important to establish boundaries. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that are okay in the ways that you communicate to me.
Right.
There are other ways that it's not. I mean, oftentimes with people in these situations, I'll oftentimes say, I'm not comfortable.
Right.
I'm just not comfortable with the way that you're communicating with me. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to pick this up later.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to remove yourself from them.
I wish we knew the ages of these boys.
Yeah, that would be really helpful.
Be helpful. One of the other thoughts I had here is she has an Enneagram type 1, so she likely has her own strong inner critic. And she's asking for help with this tsunami of what feels like constant criticism from the outside. Sometimes when you haven't done your own work and you have a strong inner critic, just someone saying anything from the outside can be a real trigger tipping point. So it just might be something worth investigating to dial into how loud and how much she's listening to her own
yes.
inner critic.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say don't try to fix him.
Mm, good.
Don't try to cheer him up. Mm-hmm. Don't try to talk him out of his feelings, mm. right? Just be there with them and detach. Don't take it on, you know. And if he's able to you know, to say to him, just ask him, oh, how can I be supportive of you right now? Not how can I fix you, but how can I be supportive?
Yeah.
Just remember, let his feelings or her feelings be their feelings and you have your own feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't have to take it on.
That's good. Great. Well, let's move on to Tulsa Amy.
Tulsa Amy.
Amy Brown. She says, can you discuss the differences between type 1 and type 3? I'd love to hear more about that, particularly self-pres 3s and 1s.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So I've never really spoken about this, but both 3s and 1s are in what's called the competency triad.
Okay.
Did you know about the competency triad? Yeah, 1s, 3s, and 5s.
Okay.
They're in the competency triad, meaning it's important for them to be perceived and treated as being competent.
Wow.
They all want to be perceived and treated.
Yes.
As being competent. Like, ones, threes, and fives don't like being disrespected, right, for what they do.
Okay.
Right? So competency is very important. Self-pres threes are a lookalike for ones.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
As both types have a lot of anxiety around getting things right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Important for both of them. Threes and ones are both planners.
Mm, okay.
But ones will be more detailed in their plans, okay, and interestingly, probably have more to-do lists than even threes.
Wow. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas, that's sufficient to say. I think for threes, pursuing perfection would be viewed as a waste of time and resources.
Mm-hmm. I could see, right? That.
It's like,
yeah,
get it to be good enough.
Right.
Like, our friend Mike Hyatt, Mike has helped me so much. He'd be like, hey, it doesn't, like, let's say you're shooting a course. He'll be like, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just get it out there.
Yeah.
You can fix it. You can keep refining it, but just get it out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm more of an idealist. I want it to be perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I want it
right.
to be, so, and threes have far less rules in their minds than ones do. So meaning that, maybe I can put it this way. Ones are idealists.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they can get stuck in trying to perfect or making things ideal. Threes are pragmatists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just make it good enough, get
yeah.
it out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be a lot of the differences.
And we've had some guests on before that were trying to figure out whether they were type one or type three. And one of the little indicators, questions that you asked was, if you're making dinner, do you follow the recipe to the letter of the law or do you not? Where ones likely will and threes most likely may not, right?
A three, might be concerned about it, but they're, again, pragmatic. They might be a little more freewheeling than the one would be, for sure.
Okay, let's move on to at Chris J. Foster. Chris Foster, I am a type four, he says. I'm a pastor at a church in Perth, Western Australia.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks for listening, Australia. And I utilize the Enneagram as my go-to tool for helping people become aware of themselves and begin to grow. But I'm finding myself stuck. Far too often, I'm in my mind. I'm constantly overwhelmed with cutting through the chatter. I know you are a 4-2. If you haven't covered it already, I would love to hear how you've tamed the self-sabotage parts of being a 4 and how you've been able to become fruitful and productive.
Okay. Well,
great question.
Yeah, it is a great question. And God bless a 4 for writing in a question that's fairly long. It's like I got to tell you everything about myself,
Right.
So this actually raises an interesting question. And I'm not saying that this is true of Chris. But, sometimes we think of a type and then we for example, what if Chris has attention deficit disorder?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
There are so many factors.
There's just a lot of factors here. Right. And so it may not have much to do with personality as much as it has to do with something altogether different.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that an ADHD 4 could at times look like a scattered 7.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But anyway, that has to be explored.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That said, for me, I don't have as much problem. I don't have as big a problem with productivity as, let's say, a social 4 would.
Okay.
Because actually, for the self-pres 4, which I am, we actually want to succeed to get what people whom we envy have.
Mm-hmm.
Does that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And so our envy doesn't really trip us up in the same way, because we're the counter type, as it does for the social and the one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, where I do get caught up, particularly as a younger man, but even still, is up in feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings can really slow me down. I had so much trouble writing my last book, this new book, actually, the story of you.
Yeah.
In part because, so many things happened between COVID and a bunch of other things that came up.
Sure.
My feelings were just stood in the way.
Yeah.
Got in my way.
That's a great way to put it.
Melancholy, anxiety, self, I had some real bouts of low self-esteem as I was writing that book. And those feelings can paralyze me.
Yeah.
So I would say that it's helpful to get someone else to help you prioritize things and hold your feet to the fire, like to keep you on task. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds like I'm just talking to a 9 or a 7, because 9 struggle with priorities, 7s with focus. But look, we all of us struggle with these things, not maybe to a lesser degree than certain types.
Sure.
So, you know, like I have this great book agent, you know, Kathy, who is just awesome. And even though she's a 4 as well, mm-hmm. she has been so good at helping me not let my feelings dictate the day.
Oh, that's good.
But holding my feet to the fire.
Yeah.
And to make sure that things get done and to help me prioritize.
Yeah.
Too. That has been terrifically helpful. You know, Anthony, there's so many things. I've said it before, but 4s just need to be in therapy. Mm-hmm. I've just never met a 4 who doesn't need therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, I encourage it for everybody.
Sure.
Right? But 4s are complicated.
Yeah.
You know, and they need a place to talk about their feelings and the stuff that's happening. He talks here too about getting caught in his mind.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if what he really is saying is he gets caught up in his imagination.
Yeah.
Because
I was wondering the same
other
thing.
Types tend to get caught up in the mind.
Yeah.
Whereas a 4 would be more likely to get caught up in the imagination. And then therefore what happens is up in the imagination, they're spending a lot more time thinking about the great things they could and creative things they could do, but never get around to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which plays into this, because I was thinking this when you were saying this earlier. Your response to the earlier question related to Mike is really helpful here, because he's talking about how have you tamed the self-sabotage parts of being a 4 and how have you become more fruitful and productive? Part of the answer might be just do it. And don't try to idealize it, right? Don't,
yes.
So.
Yeah, stop going for the ideal.
Yeah.
The platonic ideal of whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. It took me a long time to take Mike's advice.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't the ideal, not mm-hmm. perfect, but mm-hmm. this ideal
yeah.
of my idealized self, my idealized book, my idealized video, you know, yeah. I could spend forever just talking right. about, well, which headshot to use, you right. know what I mean? And Mike would be like, just pick one.
Yeah.
This is a 30 second, just, right. you know, just pick one and run, you know, yeah. fix it later. Just get it out there.
And I love that you suggested therapy too, because especially as a pastor, you know, he's in a lot of people's lives and he needs a place he can go and be vulnerable and trust, you know, that it's a safe place to be vulnerable. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. One of the lessons I've learned over the years is that not everybody benefits from a traditional 50-minute counseling session. And this is why some people can go to couples therapy or personal counseling for a long time and never really get anywhere. This is why I'm such a believer of intensive counseling and my friends at Restoring the Soul in Colorado, created by my longtime friend Michael Cusick to help couples or individuals experience deep change and half-day blocks over 1 or 2 weeks. Now listen, if you can't wait months or years to get to the bottom of an issue or to experience breakthrough, you need to get in touch with my friend Michael and his extraordinary team of counselors at Restoring the Soul. If you're looking to get out of the rut you're in, but can't wait months or years, call Restoring the Soul today for a free consultation with Michael's staff. Call 303-932-9777 and learn how their intensive counseling process can help you. As a special bonus, just for Typology listeners, make sure to visit www.restoringthesoul.com/typology to download their PDF called 5 Ways Unaddressed Trauma May Be Derailing Your Relationships. Hey, let's take on Rebecca Santos Silva's question.
Okay, she says, my fiance and I have been reading The Road Back to You, and I'm a little intrigued. Looks like I am a strong 9 and 2. Is this possible?
No. You could be a 9 or a 2, but right. not a 9 and a 2.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You can't say I'm a 9 with a 2 wing or a 2 with a 9 wing, and you know, you can't be a 9 and a 2 at the same time, but you could be a 9 or a 2.
This is good, because people actually do think this, so it's
yes.
helpful. Yeah.
Here's where they're similar.
Okay.
Okay. And we've answered this question before about 9s and 2s. However, I'm going to answer it a little bit differently today, so maybe it'll be helpful. I mentioned earlier about the competency triad. Mm-hmm. Ones, threes, and fives.
Right.
So nines and twos are both in what's called the optimistic triad.
You sneaky little thing.
I know, baby. And so these
dropping the mic on us.
Yeah, man. So these are very heartfelt, people-oriented folks, and they all know how to make other people feel good.
So nine twos and what else?
Sevens.
Sevens.
They know how to make other people feel good. Wow. Right? They are wonderful that way. Here's what's an interesting difference between them. If you say to a two, if a two is honest with you.
Okay.
And you asked them the question, do you think you can make anybody like you?
Uh-huh.
Can you make anyone like you? If they're honest and self-aware,
yeah,
and perhaps talking to you in private,
right,
they knowing no one is listening, they'll say yes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I can pretty much do, I am pretty good at making anybody like me. Right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's true, but nines are far less interested in making people like them.
Mm.
Like a nine is more interested in establishing connection.
Okay.
Versus being liked. They want to establish connection. They're more interested in harmony. They're a lot more interested in avoiding conflict. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. a two can do conflict. They don't like it. They don't like disconnection either, but not, they're not as, they want to be liked more than a nine does.
Right.
You know, like a nine would be like, oh, I don't know. You know,
right.
But they're great at establishing connection.
Yeah.
With other people. But again, I can see where this is another reason is because they're all in this optimistic triad.
Yeah.
Because of that, I think that's another reason twos and nines get themselves confused with each other.
Okay, so you've told us about the optimistic triads, and earlier you mentioned the competency triad. What is the third triad?
Yeah, okay, so we're into it. These are actually called Enneagram harmonic groups.
Okay.
Okay, and I don't talk about these very often, so maybe we should do a whole thing on it at some point, yeah. Right? So that the four, sixes, and eights are in the reactive triad or the reactive group, right? And this group is sometimes also called the intensity group.
Oh, wow, interesting.
You know, and they tend to have strong reactions and need strong reactions back.
Wow.
from other people.
Okay.
They deal with disappointment and conflict in reactive ways.
Okay.
Right? So fours would deal with conflict by withdrawing.
Mm-hmm.
Sixes by assessing situations and then seeking independence and support. They would fear abandonment without the reinforcement or the support of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think with eights, there's a lot of sort of emphasis on independence and reliance. And it's obvious that they are why they would be in the reactive group.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Particularly when they feel like they're being controlled or dominated, or they're afraid of being vulnerable, they'll get pretty reactive.
Okay.
They'll get their hackles up.
Okay.
So cool. Anyway, let's do something on the harmonic groups at some
point.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I think
all right.
Fun.
Well, thanks, Ian. We've got four, five, six questions here that we got answered. We want to let y'all know we're paying attention. So if you make comments on Ian's socials, whether that's Ian Morgan Cron or Typology Institute, we just want to let you know that we are paying attention to you out there. And thanks for weighing in and being a part of the conversation.
Yeah, folks, love the questions. Loved you guys. And I hope this was helpful.